Hello, brothers and sisters. If possible, it would be nice if all brothers and sisters can turn on your video camera for those in the main Zoom room. And we will begin today's meeting. As we begin, we will have a time of prayer. I do hope brothers and sisters can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have said many times before that we need to obey and submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We hope that more brothers and sisters can open up in prayer. It does not need to be a long prayer. But let's first place this meeting into the hands of our Lord. Let's have a time of prayer now. Lord, we thank and praise you for your grace and that this morning we can gather in your presence. And we truly say we place this meeting into your gracious hands because we do acknowledge that we cannot do anything. We need your presence in this meeting. We need your Holy Spirit to fill this meeting. We place the sharing of our brothers into your gracious hands. That every individual be full of the Spirit, full of the anointing, and that from our depths, this would be a living fountain of life. And so this morning, we wait for your grace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, we truly thank you because together with brothers and sisters, we can come into your presence to pursue and to love after that which is in your heart. And so this morning on the video, we see many young brothers and sisters. Our hearts give you all the thanksgiving and praise. May you gain them. May your work and your testimony, may it move forward and be held fast. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you again. You gather us in your presence. Please do speak to our hearts this morning through our brothers and sisters' fellowship and through our older brothers' fellowship. We pray that you would stir up that desire in our hearts so that we would thirst after yourself and your work in us. May your anointing oil anoint every brother and sister. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, from last meeting until today, Lord, I have been waiting upon how to follow the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing, Lord, through this meeting. For those of us who do not have a deep enough life in you, help us so that we may learn how to obey the teaching of the anointing. Through the sharing of brothers and sisters, do teach our hearts so that we would enter into the practical spiritual reality so that in our speech, in our action, in our minds and thoughts and behavior, in every aspect, that we would come to understand the teaching of the anointing. Teach us so that through this gathering, increase our life. We thank you. We place all brothers and sisters into your hands. We thank and praise you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, as we gather before you, we worship you. We thank you that you give us this opportunity, because we know that your return is near and the bride needs to make herself prepared. Lord, we desire after reality, not to have just light and truth and reality, but Lord, we want to have this desire before you that you would accomplish that true work in us, so that on that day when we see you, that we would have that reality, we would have your image, that your heart may be satisfied so that we may gain that reward. We thank you for such a gathering, Lord, in this generation, in this chaotic time. Lord, we know that your footsteps are so near. You are still gathering us like this. So we place the following time reverently into your hands. May your Holy Spirit do a great work within us, Lord, so that not only would we have a heart of desire, but may we have give you the true sovereignty. May your cross do that deep and thorough work in us until your heart is satisfied, so that you may enjoy the fruits of your labor. We give you all the worship, honor, adoration, all unto you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, as we gather together, how we need your presence. You are here and your light shines into us. How we need to meet you. Help us so that as we gather together, take away all the hindrances, everything that is false, all the places of rebellion, Lord, please shine your light into it. Because we are naked and laid bare before you as we come before you. You remind us that your will for us far surpasses everything that we can imagine without any expectations. Lord, we do look forward to your grace. We want to meet you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Again, you give us this opportunity to gather in your presence. Lord, how we desire and thirst after meeting more of you, and that you would reveal more of yourself to us. Lord, we do desire that in these few days that are remaining, that you would have a more true work in us, and that we would have a more true change, and that in your hands, that we would become a more useful vessel. Lord, we pray that you would remember this desire that we have. We reverently place this following time into your hands. For brothers and sisters, no matter where we are, please do be with us. We are willing to have an open heart before you. We want to be face to face with you. We thank you. We know that you are so full of grace. And we know that you do desire to gain more of us. So we thank you. Give you all the praises and adoration to you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, our time of prayer will pause here. This time, We did not have a requirement for brothers and sisters to memorize scripture, and I didn't arrange for anybody to give the testimony for sharing following the anointing, because in my heart, there's still some burden, some principles that I want to speak more clearly. And so as we begin this meeting today, I do want to remind and repeat a little bit the reason why we have such a meeting. In our heart, we have this great desire. It's not just for brothers and sisters, please remember, for you to just gain more of Christ, but through what Paul says in the book of Philippians, we desire that the Lord will gain more of us. Paul, during his days, he had a very, very deep desire and hope, and that is in Philippians chapter 3. He really desires that the Lord would gain more of him. We need to mutually encourage one another. On one hand, we do desire after the Lord gaining more of us. On the other hand, together with the companions around us, we want to mutually encourage one another. We want to help others so that the Lord can also gain more of them. So, brothers and sisters, I feel that this today is very important. If the Lord cannot gain us, then all that we pursue, everything we do, will be in vain. Only when the Lord gains more of us, in these days when he leaves us on earth, every day is very precious, because these are the days that he is doing work. It's not just a work outwardly. Today, as Christians, we pay so much attention to his outward work. We look at the fruits, we look at the condition of the meetings, but we neglect the condition of the Lord inside of us. We need to meditate on this. Think about it carefully. How much has the Lord gained us? This for us today is a very important test. So when we gather this time, the desire is that we want to mutually encourage one another, that the Lord would gain more of me. Today in the end times, in the church, this is the Lord's greatest desire. He wants to have more people that he can gain. And so in Old Testament history, all the way through New Testament history, we see many servants of God. Not only did they do many things outwardly for the Lord, they did much great work, but in their relationship between the Lord, they had a very intimate relationship with him. The Lord in their lives, the Lord in their daily living, God has such a high position in them. This is also what we desire today. Even if we don't have any great gifts, we can't do much for the Lord outwardly. But brothers and sisters, we desire that we want the Lord to gain more of us. And so as we begin today, brothers and sisters, I have shared with you, we use these four lines, four aspects. To mutually encourage one another and to have fellowship. And of course, before the Lord, you can pursue after other things. But here, I do want to give you these four aspects. I hope that within these four lines, four aspects, that we would pay attention, that we would pursue after it. Then perhaps our condition would have a greater change. And so I do want to repeat again. Do you remember the first aspect, that we need to pursue after good daily habits? We've talked about how these daily habits are very important. And later on, when we have an opportunity, I'll go back to review, brothers and sisters, some of these things. I'm not going to talk much on this point, but please remember, number one, we need to have good daily habits. This, for our spiritual life, will be a great help. This is the first aspect, The second point, we need to be very familiar with scripture. In being familiar with scripture, the best way is to memorize it. I thank the Lord in the past days, brothers and sisters have already memorized the entire book of Colossians. I do hope that if you have an opportunity, repeat it. I hope that as I remind you that from this point on, we need to now begin memorizing the book of Ephesians. You can already begin. Next month, we will ask brothers and sisters to memorize Ephesians chapter 1. And so if you begin now, please do memorize Ephesians chapter 1. Now, regarding being familiar with scripture, later on today, forgive me, it's here morning, but later on in today's meeting, we're going to go a little bit more into an explanation of scripture. Not only are we going to memorize, but we also need to learn how to meditate on God's words. We need to know how to meditate on God's words so that we can be more familiar with his words. Thirdly, we need to obey and follow the leading of the anointing. I'm going to have a little bit more sharing on this today because this is so important. In John's latter years, the simplest and most important truth and experience, he told this to the children of God, the people of God. If in this aspect you pay attention to it, and all brothers and sisters, you have the life of obeying and following the teaching of the anointing, then this would be great, great help to us. In the past, we have also told brothers and sisters to share with us some experiences of following the anointing. Forgive me for saying, some brothers and sisters were able to grab a hold of the main points. But I need to say again, past experiences have all been very good. These are your individual experiences. They're good, but we need to emphasize the anointing, that experience of the anointing within us. I have said many times that today, among the churches on earth today, this has become a lost experience. There's not many brothers and sisters who pay attention to this. Not too many brothers and sisters emphasize this point either. Oftentimes we talk about the explanation and interpretation and principles of scripture. These are all right. However, if there are no experiences of obeying, following the anointing, then you cannot attain to reality. That is why this is very important. That is why this is a very important point and an emphasis that I want to make as we pursue together this time. So I want to have more detailed explanation with brothers and sisters this time. Now, number four. We do also appreciate the past experiences of brothers and sisters, the light that they have received, and we do appreciate their testimonies. Indeed, God's work cannot be separated from the principle of man. We see many saints in the past. We see the things that they have done. We know that the Bible records many characters in order to encourage us. And so from them, we can also learn from their experiences. However, the most important point, brothers and sisters, if you have read some good books, some very good messages. When I say good, it's not just means, doesn't mean it's just easy to read, it's very popular. No. It has true spiritual help. For example, I'm going to mention a book. I hope, brothers and sisters, that if you have some time that you can read it. It is Brother Andrew Murray's The Spirit of Christ. This is a very good book. Brothers and sisters, if you have an opportunity, read this book. From my youth to today, I have read this many, many times. I have also read it with brothers and sisters many times. This book has many I can't say it's complete and perfect, but it is a very deep book. It talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in a very deep way. It's not a shallow thing at all. And I can say to young brothers and sisters, the first time you read it, you will not be able to understand it. You just won't. At the beginning, there were many things I could not understand. Even until today, I can understand a little bit more. I feel that our brother in the Lord, his understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit is so deep. It is, I have read many brothers and sisters, they have written about the work of the Holy Spirit, but nobody is able to surpass Brother Andrew Murray's book. This is such a precious writing that has been left behind. This is such a precious inheritance in the church today. We need to pay attention to it. Books like this, it is worth your time and effort to read it with great detail. I hope that there can be a group of brothers and sisters who can have more fellowship on this, that we could read it together so that we can understand more. Now, this is just an example that we want to use as we appreciate what the older brothers and sisters have left behind for us. So this time, as we talk about how the Lord is to gain more of us, these are four aspects. If in these four aspects, if we can have a deeper understanding of these things, then we also ask that you would share it with us so that we can have more fellowship together. Now, following, as we go on, let's go back to this point of following the teaching of the anointing. I want to have more fellowship with you on this aspect because it is very, very important. Now let's ask brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 27. Now, this is a verse that we're all very familiar with, but I do want you to place your attention here so that we can pay closer attention and explanation on these words. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, in this verse, brothers and sisters, please pay attention to this word. This word abide. In Chinese, this teaching, this anointing abides in you, originally means to live in, abide in. Just as it has taught you, you abide in him. It's the same abiding, same living. In English, it is the word abiding. Why did it say in Chinese that you are to live for a long time, to remain in? In the past, I've heard saints tell us, they have written this word constantly, constantly abiding. In Chinese, that is why that you are to constantly abide and remain in. Now, this word abide, brothers and sisters, is very, very important. Here it tells us that the Holy Spirit has come into us and he abides in us, lives in us. Today, what we're pursuing after is that we are to abide in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this abiding is a very, very important word. In the original Greek, in the meaning, this abide, it means It is within and does not depart. Once it has come in, it does not leave. The Holy Spirit now lives in us, and he does not leave us. It's not like when we live in a house today and we move our homes, our houses, because this is not right, we move a house. The Holy Spirit, he will not move homes. The Holy Spirit today, he also wants us to abide in Christ. We need to be deeply rooted into Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit, he abides in our spirit, and he has entered into our daily lives. Today, we also need to abide in Christ. We also need to be deeply rooted into that life. So, brothers and sisters, we need to know, only when you have such an abundant living experience, and then your understanding of Christ will be different. And then your experience to the abundance of Christ will be different. Oftentimes, as children of Christ, we have neglected the fact that our lives are not abundant. We come in, we leave. When we're happy, we come in. When we're not happy, we leave. To live means that we need to be deeply rooted. That is why there is this word abiding. This word abiding is very, very important. Now, because the Holy Spirit abides in us, we know that the Holy Spirit is already in us. Now, if you understand how to abide in Christ, then the Christian life, your Christian life, will be different. God hopes that we will constantly draw from his abundance. So today, how do we abide? John tells us it is according to the teaching of the anointing. This tells us, when you follow the teaching of the anointing, it's so important, because when you follow the teaching of the anointing, then you can abide in him. Many Christians say that we need to abide in him, but how? We don't know. That means daily you follow and obey the teaching of the anointing. That is abiding in him. Brothers and sisters, now John's ministry in the New Testament is the ministry at the very end of the New Testament, because all the other apostles have already passed away. Even Paul had passed away. Now John, he has written this down, particularly in 1 John. It tells us some very, very important experiences. And so in these many years, I have felt that this elderly brother, in his old age, many people tell us that his spiritual life was purified through fire, and his life and his understanding of the Lord is extremely deep, because he has gone through about 100 years of walking with the Lord and experiences. So he now is able to use the simplest words to express truth and experience and put them together. And so in John's letter, this word, it encompasses all truth. He's able to use one word to encompass all truth. In the beginning was the Word. Brothers and sisters, only him, only this brother, because he is so mature, with one word, he can encompass everything. Not only in truth does he use this word, but in experience, in spiritual experience, he also uses this word abiding, to live in, to encompass all spiritual experiences, all Christian experiences, also in this word. So now we know how important abiding is, how important this truth is. Before 1970, I was not clear on this truth. When I read the Bible, everybody knows, we knew this word, but to this word abiding, I didn't have any deep impression of it. And then after 1970, because we received some teaching, and then our attention turned to this word abiding. Yes, even though our brothers in their messages had mentioned it, but they didn't really emphasize or pay much attention to it. And then later on, when we turned our focus back upon this word, the Lord brought us into the reality of this experience and the blessing that it brought. We cannot explain with our language and our words. I am not exaggerating at all. So oftentimes, I truly thank the Lord with all my heart. I say, it's not that we have any high level of education. We don't have a lot of intelligence or abilities or gifts. What do we base our pursuit of the Lord? But in my life, that was a great change. It was a pivotal change in my life. Before that, from Brother T. Austin Sparks, from his ministry, we did receive revelation in regards to the meaning of Christ. But then after 1970, because of the mercy of the Lord, he opened up this truth of abiding. And it brought us into the reality of Christ. And of course, brothers and sisters, you understand my meaning. It's not that as soon as you enter in, then you've got it all. No, it's been many decades. After you've had this experience, then you have no fear of anything. And from this experience, it has brought in great abundance. And so even though as vessels, we are very small, but we are so full and we have received so many blessings because of this experience, because from our youth, the brothers, regarding this matter of following the anointing, they have set some very good foundations in us. So before we were very clear on things, when we were just starting out in our spiritual walk, we didn't understand much truth. We didn't know how to speak of these principles, but we knew that the Holy Spirit was within us, leading us. We already knew that this life is in us. And so when I was in my teens, I had a lot of experiences that I myself didn't even understand. I had lots of stories. I myself found it very amazing as a child that the Lord was doing these things in us. But now when I look back, I realize that these were very important foundational experiences all the way until I was later, older. I could understand John's words here that I am abiding in Christ. I need to follow the anointing within me. So today, I see the majority of the children of God, they are pursuing the Lord outwardly. Even when we read scripture, we are still within the realms of our natural mind. We want to find a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of explanation. Yes, indeed. Many people are very smart. Their explanations are pretty good. And we find that some people's sharing are very beneficial. But brothers and sisters, that's not enough. You need to follow the teaching of the anointing. Brothers and sisters, then when you follow the teaching of the anointing, then in this matter of abiding, you will have reality. You will have a very practical experience. This time we know that in West Coast Christian Conference, we talked about spiritual reality. When we talked about spiritual reality, honestly speaking, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot have reality. I have already said before that God, in his purpose, he already has a complete and perfect work. It is true. God has a great purpose. To him, it is real and true. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he accomplished a work of redemption upon the cross, that was also true. But we know that these two true, if the Holy Spirit were not in us, then to us, those are only objective truths. It will not become subjective truths. Oftentimes, before the Lord, when we talk about these things, it's not that the outward things and explanations are not important. No, they are important. Our brothers, in different aspects, they have much fellowship and sharing with us, and many saints are helped. It helps us to better understand truth. However, if you want all of these truths to come into our life, to make these things practical and real without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. And so, brothers and sisters, do you remember in John 16, verse 13, until the Spirit of truth comes in to lead you into all truth. So in the New Testament era, this is a change in the nature of God's work. It is all in the spiritual realm. It's not in head knowledge. And so in these years, I often feel that in these many decades that have passed, the light of the truth in Scripture, there is so much light. Just think about the past conferences. How many preaching and knowledge have you heard? How much explanation and light and interpretation of Scripture have you heard? I find that it's incredible. If you were to collect all of it, that amount is incredible. But in our daily lives and in our gatherings, how much reality do we have? This is a great question and problem. And so I say, when we follow the anointing, it seems as if today it is a lost truth. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to ask the Lord to give us grace to start from us individually so that it would attain to the entire church, so that this lost experience, we can reclaim it, find it. We need to follow the anointing. This is living. It is life. This is practical and substantial. It is so detailed to a point where every thought that you have can be under him. Your speech, your words, your actions, your behavior, your worship, your service, your life, your family life, in raising children, every single aspect of your life, it is all encompassed beneath the leading and teaching of the anointing. Brothers and sisters, today, even though we find that in general Christianity today is just an outward gathering, they talk and they share some preaching and have some outward activities, we do know that in the past, when we were young, we condemned a lot of that. But today we don't need to condemn it, because without realizing, brothers and sisters, in that realm, they still love the Lord. However, we know that God's heart cannot be satisfied. But now when we turn and look at ourselves, are we any different from others? We are not much different from anyone else. On Sundays, we also take our Bibles. We go to the meeting. Sometimes we gather for meetings. Other people just go to Sunday service. We find that that's different. But many Christians, it's about the same. They come, listen to the preaching, and after that, they don't have anything else to do. No wonder many young brothers and sisters, they ask, how are we different from anyone else? Brothers and sisters, forgive me for saying, understand what I'm trying to say. We have no intention to condemn, to say that we are something different. We are doing something different. No, we are going back to Scripture. The Bible has its requirements, but are we doing according to what Scripture says? Honestly speaking, we haven't attained to it. It's not that we haven't done all of it. Maybe we've done just a little bit of it. Perhaps we don't have an outward formality. We don't have any of those services, but is it enough? No, it's not enough. Are we satisfied? We cannot be content and satisfied. So brothers and sisters, in following the anointing, in our experiences of this, we have neglected And we have been careless, to such a point that we are doing outward works and arrangements, and we just have some outward logical teaching. Brothers and sisters, this, we cannot be satisfied with it. And so we ask the Lord to give us true light so that we may repent, so that we can know from our depths where we have gone wrong, that we are no stronger than anyone else. Perhaps in our strengths, we can say that what we talk about is a little bit more deep, but this doesn't represent anything. What God wants is spiritual reality. This is so important. So in this past year's WCCC, it was a very good reminder. What God wants is that which is real, what is true. Today, as Christians, individually before the Lord, we also want the same. We want that which is real. We don't want that which is fake. We don't want to just talk about outward practical things. It's not that we are condemning anyone else. We need to start from ourselves. We need to take a look at ourselves. Are we true before the Lord? Are we real before Him? Or have we just maintained an outward facade where it looks like outwardly people think we're pretty good, but within us, we don't have much? May He show us grace. Brothers and sisters, here, I am willing to pull our condition into something that is very real. It's not just something that we pretend to look like outwardly so that we would receive grace from Him. Brothers and sisters, without the work of the Holy Spirit, then we do not have reality. I can tell you a little bit more. Now, this year, originally, this wasn't my main burden. But when I talk about this, I am very careful. Because we do know that in all of Christianity today, the charismatics and then the evangelists and the Baptists, we know that they have a very clear delineation. Even among some of the brothers and sisters among us that have been in different denominations, we know that there are some issues. Because some people, as soon as you talk about the Holy Spirit, they get really excited. And then there's others, as soon as you talk about it, they get really serious and they reject this. And so for myself, I also need to be very careful. I don't want to talk to such a point where brother, son, you are a charismatic Pentecostal. I don't say, no, I'm not a denominational in this regard. And at the same time, I don't want to reject the Holy Spirit. And I know this is a difficult subject. And so I want to use scripture to pull this apart, to pull this into this realm, to see in God's work how the Holy Spirit is working, to see how important it is. So, brothers and sisters, in all of God's work and in the work of the cross, it is all encompassed in the work of the Spirit today. Without the work of the Spirit, it cannot be done. That is why I encourage brothers and sisters, read the book, The Spirit of Christ. In this book, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in a very deep, wonderful way. It's not that it's perfect or complete, but it has touched something deeper. And so today, we do know that there are some people, they have pulled the work of the Holy Spirit into a very shallow place that you're just going to heal and cast out demons and then just going to perform some miracles and that's good enough. And others, when they touch the Holy Spirit, they want to avoid Him. They don't want to talk about it. Today, we know this is the work of the enemy to pull these things into extremes. But today, apart from the Holy Spirit, you do not have reality. How we need the grace of the Lord. Now, John in his latter years, regarding the experience of the Holy Spirit, he has brought it into a very easy experience. We thank and praise our Lord because among the children of God, the majority of people are in the infancy stage. Elderly John here, he is like this old father, elderly father. He has pulled up the standards and expectation to the right place. This is such a great grace. We need to obey the anointing. He uses word anointing. to represent the Holy Spirit. It's not just to represent or substitute. Now, the anointing is the way the Holy Spirit works. He uses the oil, the anointing. This is the method. Today, you need to follow the anointing. Today, many who follow the experience of the Spirit but do not have the anointing, they just want to be excited and they follow the outward feelings, and that's not right. And then there are some brothers and sisters do not have any oil, no anointing in their lives. Today, these are all abnormal conditions. Today, what do we need? We need to obey and follow the anointing, the oil. This is great grace that the Lord has given to us. Now, among us, there are many young brothers and sisters. I have this very deep burden in my heart that from these days on, we would pay attention to the experiences of following the anointing. Of course, brothers and sisters who have been saved for many years, if in the past you have neglected this, we need to have these makeup classes. We need to go back and pull it back to this experience. Now, this time in West Coast Christian Conference, there was something very interesting that happened that I want to fellowship and share with you. Now, some brothers, they had this very good sharing. They talked about reality, and they gave us a very good example. A brother had talked about that a lot of people like to watch ball games, and then you would have a referee, and then you have the athletes. And his meaning is that the referees, they also understand the technical aspects, but they cannot go and play as an athlete because those who play are the athletes. And so our brother said, today, you can't just talk about the head knowledge. You need to become a true athlete. An athlete on the court to gain the trophy, or to gain their championship, every single skill they have practiced hundreds of thousands of times. And so to our young brothers and sisters, this is a very important reminder. Many young people felt that this illustration is very good. So I tell young brothers and sisters, if you grab a hold of this point, it's good, but do not neglect something else. If you want to be a very good athlete, you need to have good training, right? You need to have a good coach. And they said, yes, I didn't think about this. Thank you for your reminder. This is very important. You need to have a good coach. Brothers and sisters, if you look at all the sports, for example, the Olympics, particularly those sports that are more detailed, you will have a coach in the back. Typically, that coach in their daily lives every day will correct them, will help them, will adjust things. Otherwise, how could an athlete get to such a high level? It's because they have a very good coach. But we do know that on the court, we're all paying attention to the athlete. Who's looking at the coach? Today, we know there's lots of gold medalists who have received the honor. But do you know who their coaches are? No, we don't. Nobody's looking at the coach. However, their coach is very important. So we thank the Lord. Today, in our daily lives, who's our coach? It is the Holy Spirit. Indeed, nobody is wanting, the Holy Spirit does not want people's attention. But if you do not follow your Holy Spirit coach, then you cannot become a good athlete. There's not one athlete that doesn't have a good coach. So today, the Holy Spirit in us, every single day, he is teaching us. If you have a wrong thought, immediately he'll tell you that's wrong. You say this today, he will tell you that's wrong. Today you do this, it is not right. You ought to do it this way. And so the Holy Spirit living in us, abiding in us from the moment you are saved, he has come to dwell in you, abide in you. He is a great coach, a very good coach, will be very, very strict on the athlete so that the athlete can gain a medal, can be a champion in how he lives, in how he eats and sleeps, in his daily life, all things. The coach will have a say in it. Today, before the Lord, if we are to enter into spiritual reality without the work of the Holy Spirit in us, you cannot attain to a good result. And today we see that in the church, regarding this truth, regarding this experience, it has been greatly neglected. That is why many Christians say, I do according to what makes me happy. I say what I want to say. I do what I want to say. If I'm more knowledgeable and more intelligent, then they're even stronger in that regards. Brothers and sisters, that is wrong. Today, we have lost a great privilege, and that is in following the experience, following the Holy Spirit, the anointing. So I say again, from today on, it's not too late, because it's never too late. We need to remind ourselves, if you haven't learned it in the past, learn it now. Start now. In every aspect of your life, follow the anointing. I know that it's easy to talk about this, but in reality, it's difficult. For example, when we speak, it's so fast that sometimes the Holy Spirit is unable to restrain you because the words go out so fast. Brothers and sisters, your lessons have not been learned well. If you have learned your lessons well, then you won't speak carelessly. Many older brothers and sisters, we see that they're more mature. They don't speak carelessly. They would first sense within their heart whether or not they need to say something, and then they will speak. Today, forgive me for saying, of course, some things don't sound good when I say it. We are like spoiled children. In the church, we just do whatever we want to do. We cannot do that. We need the grace of the Lord. Today, we need to abide in the Lord. In order to abide in him, you need to obey the teaching of the anointing. Now, as we continue on, there are still many opportunities for brothers and sisters to give us testimonies. We can have more testimonies. We can have greater encouragement. Please share with us, mutually encourage one another, so that we will know in our daily lives how to follow the teaching of the anointing. Now here, let me give you another example. I thought about this example for a long time because it's not a Christian example. It's a Gentile story. But within it, there are some things perhaps that we can use to remind us. And so I'm going to share the story with you because I know you like to listen to stories. I had the music teacher before. He was a singing teacher, and he also told me this story. Several decades ago in Europe, there was a very, very famous male tenor. He had very good specifications. His name is Beomeno Gili. He was a male tenor. He was a singer. And later he found a very good teacher named Rosato, And he came to be trained by this teacher. And this teacher was extremely strict, strict to such a point that for 7 to 8 years did not allow him to sing, did not allow him to sing, so that he could strictly adhere to his teaching method, did not allow him to sing. For about 7 to 8 years, this teacher told him to be silent. After 7 to 8 years, this teacher said to him, "Now, sing the songs that you want to sing. Go ahead and sing whatever you want," because his training had been successful. And then he came out, and in Europe, he participated in a competition for all the male tenors in the world. And as soon as he got up on the stage and as soon as he sang, it was incredible. All the judges, everybody was astonished. And what was their final judgment? That he was called the tenor, the true tenor. He is the tenor. Not just the tenor, but the tenor. This is such a judgment on him, because this is the true, the tenor. And so then he was invited by all the musical stages of the world to go and perform. And when he went, there was one thing that was different about him from others. No matter where he went to sing, he had to bring his teacher. This is very special. Who would do such a thing to such a point? He would buy the plane ticket for his teacher and get the hotel and provide all the finances for his teacher to go with him. He would bring his teacher with him so that right before he went up on stage, he would go to the teacher to work on his pitch. Today, brothers and sisters, in this artistic world, do we still have such people? We see how careful and detailed they are. Brothers and sisters, this is a true artist. Today, as long as you have a good vocal cords, you can sing. Who cares about it that much? But sometimes when I think about this, for the condition of the church today, I feel great sorrow. We lack people who are so diligent in pursuing after spiritual things. Where's our problem? Our problem is we've heard so many messages. We've heard many, many messages to the point where anyone can speak these messages. But we are not strict. We don't have that discipline. It's not to say that no one disciplines us, but I'm speaking about the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The coaching of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn this. I'm still learning this. That every time I go to share, I would touch whether or not the Holy Spirit, the anointing is within. Every time I go serve, I need to touch whether or not the oil, the anointing is within me. Even when I go visitation to visit somebody, I need to touch whether or not the anointing is there. You need to develop this good habit. In this way, then your work will be very tightly knit with the Spirit. Look at the apostles in the early church. No matter where they went, the Holy Spirit was very evident, right? When Peter and John stood up to preach, immediately they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came to fill the entire gathering. When they were there, they were all being led by the anointing, the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he spoke, he was also led by the Spirit. Today, brothers and sisters, this truth needs to be recovered. We look to his mercy, brothers and sisters. Not only do you need to learn this before the Lord, you need to bring this burden and sharing. You need to bring it to those around you. Remind those around you, especially when you enter into service, you cannot leave the anointing. If there is anointing, you can speak. If there's no anointing, do not speak. Dear brothers and sisters, in this way, perhaps in our individual lives and in the church testimony, then perhaps we can have some true recovery. That is why in these many years, we feel that in the church, yes, we've talked about many truths, but everything just seems so shallow. There's not much flavor to it. The past older brothers and sisters who served the Lord, oftentimes they used this explanation. They said the flavor is lacking. One time I spoke to an older brother and I asked him, and then our older brother says, "Brother, the flavor wasn't so good." It was so interesting. It had bad flavor. Brothers and sisters, of course, this sounds very coarse, but it's true. Today, when you gather together, do you feel that there's a good flavor in the meeting? Or you say, "Oh, well, today, because I need to go to the meeting, so I'll just go. I'll meet, and then I'll come home, and then I have no great feelings about it." Do you live such a life? Is this what the Lord wants? Can this allow you to be satisfied? No. May the Lord show us mercy. So this time, as we gather together, we hope that in this aspect, that we can all pay attention to it. So that is not just me talking about it here, but I hope that in every meeting that you guys can all talk about it, all speak of it, so that this truth can be shared to a point where all brothers and sisters, we're all paying attention to this. Then, truly, there will be a change. Our family lives will change. Our service will change. Our church life will change. And then a lot of gossip and all that other things that we talk about, we can cut it all out. We don't need to gossip. We don't need to talk about other random things. When you gossip, what good is that? Only when you follow the anointing, then naturally these things will be cut off and taken away and be diminished. We look to his grace today. I haven't given brothers and sisters time to give their own personal testimonies, but do be prepared so that next time, if we have an opportunity, we do ask you to share with us. Share a little bit of your experience with brothers and sisters. We hope that at this time, that the Holy Spirit may recover his important work in us. And so regarding this matter of following the teaching of the anointing, this is my sharing. Now, we still have a bit of time now. Next, I want to talk about the book of Colossians with brothers and sisters. Because brothers and sisters, you've taken the time to memorize this book. It's a very good thing. Why did we pick the book of Colossians? Now, I've said at the beginning, we picked two books. One is Colossians, and the second is the book of Ephesians. It is because these two books point out the main points of God's mystery. Now, in God's mystery, it is something that is very broad. However, it has a main focus. The central focus are written about in the book of Colossians and Ephesians. And so this time, I wanted brothers and sisters to be more familiar with these two epistles. If in these two books you are very familiar with them, then it is possible that when you now go back to the rest of Scripture, it will become a great help to you. And so, brothers and sisters, not only do you memorize it, but I do hope that I can have a bit of sharing with you. Now, I've said before, the book of Colossians talks about the mystery of Christ. The book of Ephesians talks about the mystery of the gospel. Now, these are different aspects of the same central focus. Now, let's take a look at Colossians first. Now, Colossians talks about the first, and then Ephesians talks about the body. Colossians talks about the head, and then Ephesians the body. And now let's open up your scripture, your Bible. In Colossians let's read a few verses. Let's turn to the book of Colossians. Let's take a look at chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's take a look at chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Now let's take a look at chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. Or let's start from verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Now, last time, I have already spoken with brothers and sisters that the book of Colossians, Paul talks about many aspects because this book is very abundant, talking about the character and work of the Son of God all the way to the Christian life. Now today, the majority of the children of God, when we read the book of Colossians, or have some biblical scholars, when they talk about the book of Colossians, what we talk about, when we talk about the church, is that outward church. When we talk about marriage relationship, family life, and our service and our careers, these are all outward things. However, for Paul, what he's talking about is the mystery. Brothers and sisters, do you understand this? In the verses that we just read, when Paul speaks, it's very clear. He says that he hopes that the mystery of Christ can be clear in the way he speaks, so that the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages can be revealed to us. And so you need to have this understanding that Paul, when he's talking about the individual in the church, these are not just normal things, because all things can be of the mystery. Or you could say that he talks about all things from the perspective of the mystery, particularly young ones now, brothers and sisters. Let me give you a different perspective to look at scripture. If you can understand how to use the mystery to view the Bible, then God's words can become very deep and the range, the boundaries will be great. Otherwise, you just stop at just a word level. Oh, then as husbands, you need to love your wives, and as wives, you need to submit to your husbands. Then we just stop in these just outward life morals and just some requirements of how we are to live. But to Paul, it wasn't like that. He said, this is a mystery. And indeed, these years, because I have been influenced by Paul in such a way, brothers and sisters, I find that, yes, my life is a mystery. Don't you think so? For all of you who are married, don't you think it's a mystery? It's such an amazing thing. And you've given birth to children. Is that in your plan? No, it's a mystery. Indeed, in our lives, we find that our entire life, including our earthly life, our spiritual life, are all underneath the governing of God's hand. It's a mystery. That is why Paul is able to speak from the perspective of the mystery in order to understand all of God's work. From this viewpoint of God's mystery, he views all of God's work to understand how the church is to be established on earth. From the mystery, he's able to look at how we are to live. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you can understand from this aspect, then when you read the Bible, your viewpoint, your perspective will be different. And from now on, every aspect that you touch, you will realize that this is not just what you see outwardly with your eyes, but there's something even more important behind it. And so in Colossians, Paul says, the mystery of God is Christ, the focal point of all things is this one thing. He created everything in the creation, and he created man in all things in this universe. It is because there is this hidden mystery. Now here, I'm not here just to explain and interpret scripture, but I hope that, brothers and sisters, I can remind you that there is a different perspective that you can use to look at the words of the Bible. Now, do you remember, brothers and sisters, last time when I talked about that because there is this mystery now gives birth to some very important experiences. There are five aspects. Do you remember them? I'm going to ask all brothers and sisters, please all turn on your microphone, and together we're going to recite, particularly you young ones. And I'm going to say it in English. Perhaps it's easier to remember. Please open up your microphones. Turn on your microphone. It's okay. Because once you say it out loud, you will have a deeper impression of what it is. Go ahead and turn on your video. That's okay too. There are five different things, but we do need everyone quiet first. Do you remember the five things? Please remember, sorry, my internet got cut off. In God's mystery, when you look at Paul's epistles, if you can remember these five things, then you will be able to understand all of his epistles. In Paul's epistles, we know that there is vision. And then he has lots of encouragements and greetings. And then you'll find that he has a lot of words that speak of his mission. He has a mission there. And in some of his epistles, he has his vocation. It has his vocation in it, because God has called him. And then in some places, you will find that he has action. Paul is not just one who's sitting there and preaching, but he has action. And if not only so, he also places his own emotions into there, because you have touched his passion. Not only his zeal is there, but you will find his suffering. He suffers for the body of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, when you look at Paul's epistles, his letters, with these five things, then you can come to understand. It's not just a flat 2D letter. Then now when you understand God's words and Paul's words, now you find that there are these five things. He is one who has been entrusted by the vision of God. He completely understands every single matter is because of the mystery of God. When you have such a perspective, then you will have a much deeper breath of all things. And then your perspective of suffering and the matters of the church will be different. So today, we need to have such an understanding. And then through the book of Colossians, the mystery of Christ has been opened up to us. This is very important and very precious. Now here, there are some scripture. Now, because of time, you can take your own time to come to understand. I'm not going to go into it. There are some things that when you read it, you can find God's, or you can find Paul's mission, then you can find his vocation, his action, and his passion in it. I'm going to leave this homework for you, because when you read it in this way, when you find Paul's action, you will have a different perspective. This is why Paul does this. Now, Paul has I apologize. I need to go get my headphones. 1 second, brothers and sisters. Now we know that it's not some strange explanation. But this is an important revelation from God. Now, vision speaks of The revelation of vision. Now, I'm just going to go chapter by chapter to talk about these main things. Now, in Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 15 through 22, if you take a look at it, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 on to verse 22. This entire section is talking about vision. Now we need to ask, why is it that Paul knows such a thing? In the past, among the saints, there has never been such a saying. How could Paul speak in such a way? Paul is because he is now speaking with words what he has seen. So this section is entirely about vision. He's talking about how in the universe, the mystery of the position of the Son of God and his work. This is amazing. Today, many Christians, we have read a lot because you've read it so much, you just go over it. You don't think it's anything, but if you meditate on it, these words are amazing. And mysterious. He talks about the beloved firstborn. He talks about the image of the Son and that he is before all things. Think about it in great detail. Isn't it very mysterious? Today, these phrases are very common and we just take it for granted. We think it's just like that. But think about it carefully. Here, he's talking about Christ and the mystery. It talks about in the deity, in triune God, the mystery of Christ. And not only in the triune God, in the deity, there is this mystery. But in verse 16, it talks about in all of which was created, there is this mystery. This is so special. All things were created, for by him all things were created. Here, there's some very small prepositions here. For by him, originally, is in him. In Greek, it is in. For in him, all things were created. In Chinese, it was, in English, it was translated to by in the NASB. But originally, for in him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him. This word through in the Greek is dias. That means through. All things have been created through him or by him. Through him, by him, and lastly here, it is for him. Eis, that means into him, and things have been created into him. So we see how this is amazing in how it is spoken here. Today, what scientist in this world is able to understand this? Today, how did all things come to be? It's still a mystery. It's still a secret, right? The only one theory so far is the Big Bang. The Big Bang theory. How could it be that all the universe was created in the Son of God? Isn't that a great mystery? How can it be? But in Paul, he received a vision that all things were created in Christ. So today, when you look at the earth, the planets, and the grass landscape, all things were created in Christ. This intelligent mind, how can we understand it? Even if we try to understand with our mind, we can't. But this is the mystery of the universe, of all creation. Not only was it created in him, but in the past when we talked about this, is because it was created in him. So in scripture, all the stones, rocks, plants, animals, all can be used to represent Christ. Isn't that amazing? Because all things were created in him. So behind it, there is his nature. There's the nature of Christ in it. Today, we take this as very common knowledge. But brothers and sisters, we need to know that this came from the mystery of God to become Paul's vision of something he saw. And then he goes on to say, whether it's seen, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, only Paul could have so much wisdom to use all of these phrases, all of these words to be encompassed within it. Because when God created all things, because he created it in Christ, it went through him, it was by him, it was in him, it is related to him. At the end, it was for him. That is why in Romans it says, at the end, all things will be for him, for the Lord. So we need to come to understand, brothers and sisters, as we live on earth today, the physical world that we have, God has given it to us for us to use, but it is not for us because all these things are for his son. And so not one person can represent all things. This is so amazing. When you leave, you cannot take anything with you, right? Because God has already established that all things at the end will be given to his son. So brothers and sisters, in these things, if you could see it from the perspective of God's mystery, then it's very easy to explain. Do you understand why I say it in this way? He says that in all things, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We need to come to understand. If you understand the mystery, you can understand these words. Otherwise, you just accept it just on the word level, surface level, and you won't really come to understand. And it's the same in the church. This has something to do with us. When Paul sees the church, his understanding of the church is very different from us, right? Isn't there a great difference? When Paul sees the church, our perspective is so different. He looks at the church from the viewpoint of the mystery. Today, when we look at the church, we see the outward works and the meetings that we have. We just see the church building. We see the activities within it. Brothers and sisters, Paul now, when he sees a church, it's different. So our Lord Jesus, he is the mystery within the church, is Christ. And the mystery of God is Christ. And he is also the abundance of the Father. Not only is he to have the right place within the church, I'm not going to go into detail here, but all things, all the fullness is dwelling in him. The fullness is not in the church building. The fullness is also not in how much money the church has. The fullness of the church is Christ. So we need to put the abundance of Christ into the fullness of the church. But today, we see that what man pays attention to, we pay attention to the numbers. We pay attention to the activities and the large building to have a lot of wealth, it causing us so many problems. We have so many conditions of failures because man's perspective of the church is a physical perspective. They do not have a spiritual perspective. We haven't used the perspective of the mystery of Christ in looking at the church. And so there's a huge difference. This is just a reminder, brothers and sisters, that when we read the words of Paul, when we read the Bible, you need to have Paul's perspective. And then we see in verse 20 to 22, he's talking about the work of the Son as a mystery. Now, the work of the Son is a great mystery. Today, in our understanding of the cross, honestly speaking, it is very shallow. Even though in our explanations, perhaps is a little bit higher than others, when we talk about the cross is united with the eternal purpose of God, of course, this is a different way of saying, because many Christians just use the cross as just a symbol of suffering. But our Lord Jesus being nailed upon the cross is a great mystery. Today, if you read the book of Romans and you look at the meaning of the cross through what Paul has written to try to understand it, then you will find that the cross is a very great mystery. And so today, if you lack this understanding, then you pull all of God's work to a very low standard. Today, I'm not saying that just because it's shallow, you don't have any understanding of the Lord or of the cross. No, it's just that your understanding is just at the beginning. You just started. This causes the church today to become more and more shallow. Young brothers and sisters, you particularly need the grace of God, because in God's work, from the most shallow to the most deep, it is an unlimited condition. Many people only pay attention to the little bit on the surface. Here in the United States, I constantly hear what the young people say, we want the practical, we want the practical. But the way to be practical only pays attention to the need of man, only to the emotions and feelings of man. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God knows our needs. However, because of our selfishness, we only think about ourselves. So when you listen to messages, as soon as you talk about how things could be good and beneficial for us, then we are happy. When you pull it a little bit deeper, then you are just too abstract. You're not practical enough. And so the church has been pulled to a place where we are very shallow. May the Lord show us mercy. Brothers and sisters, I just said, when I asked brothers and sisters to read the book, The Spirit of Christ. Now this book, The Spirit of Christ, I have said before, this is Brother Andrew Murray's, this recording of his messages. One time, in the past, I thought he wrote it, but later, these are just transcripts of his messages. And I was amazed, and I thought, how could these messages be spoken from the pulpit? I remember one time in Vancouver, I wanted to try. I used The Spirit of Christ, several messages from it, to open up a conference. I gave three messages. And that day, I spoke to a point where brothers and sisters were so muddled. They said, who can listen to such messages? Because we didn't know what to talk about. But brothers and sisters, that year, Brother Andrew Murray, he was preaching this. And he was preaching to preachers. The audience was different. Now, today, I feel that listening to messages, perhaps before the Lord, our conditions are can't attain to it. A lot of people say, whoa, those are good messages, because you have a lot of stories, lots of illustrations, and they think that the message is really good. So today, when you listen to a message, who's making the judgment call? If you think Brother Andrew Murray's messages are good, then perhaps you need to know, what was the level that he was speaking on? In China, when I speak with the brothers in China, today, depending on who you invite, it will also determine the spiritual condition of the majority, because you have invited this particular speaker. Now, forgive me for saying, yes, there are many difficulties. I'm not condemning the condition of any person or group, but from my heart, I do have a very deep burden that our church condition today is very, very shallow. When I was young, forgive me, I was reading Brother T. Austin Sparks. I didn't understand, and gradually I came to understand. I was very happy. There was a period of time that I really wanted to use his messages to preach. But as soon as I stood up and I saw brothers and sisters, I could not say it. Because as soon as I say it, then it will be guaranteed that everybody will fall asleep. So brothers and sisters, I often say, during the time of the apostles, like Paul, when he was there, when they preached, when they experienced and built the church, and they were speaking of the mystery of God, for us today, we only speak of the needs of man and the work of man. Today I'm saying, it's not that there were no such needs of man back then, but when Paul spoke about our speech and talked about our daily life, please remember, in Paul's heart, he says, I am speaking the mystery of God. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what I'm saying? This is different. It's entirely different in its perspective. So we need the mercy of the Lord. So today, regarding the experience of the cross, Paul was speaking of a great mystery. He was talking about the blood of Christ in the spiritual realm. The result of it far surpasses what we can imagine. Paul says that the work of the cross, it brings us to such a point where there is complete reconciliation between us and God. Brothers and sisters, this is such a vision. Because his perspective was different. He's not looking at the physical matters to look at things, but he was looking at things from the perspective of the mystery to try to understand. And so today, I hope, brothers and sisters, now, because Paul has used words that man can understand to write scripture, it's not that he's just writing from his own mind. We need God's mercy. So next time, when you read to this point, through he has accomplished all things, made peace through the blood of his cross, and through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, we say, Lord, this is a mystery. This is a mystery. If you have this perspective, then your perspective will be different. It won't be as simple as what you imagine. And then, brothers and sisters, I have no intention here to separate God's words to a point where it's very mysterious and abstract. No. So let me say again, some people, when they preach, it's just preaching. When Paul preached, it was a mystery. So that is why Paul said, please pray for me, so that when I speak of God's mystery, the mystery of Christ, I can make it clear. When people outwardly hear it, they say, is Paul speaking? But Paul is speaking a mystery. When you read the book of Colossians, this is what he says. So we need his grace. Today, through the cross, in verse 22, he says, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. What does it mean to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach? In these words, you can't just read through it on the surface level and say, okay, I get it. No, it is a true mystery. Of course, this word mystery, I've used it too much. Perhaps it will feel very mysterious. But today, we need to have such a perspective. Now, Paul, in his letters, he is using these words very carefully as well. He's not just randomly saying mystery, mystery. But yes, Paul is speaking of mystery. It's not just a normal life, normal marital relationship and a parental relationship. And as Christians, we all just live together outwardly in our relationships with one another. No, brothers and sisters, this is a very important perspective. And so from here we see, from verse 23 on, all the way to chapter 2, verse 5, when Paul serves the Lord, in being his minister, he is one who is to speak of the mystery of God. He is one who speaks the ministry of God's mystery. He's just not talking about some morals of man to teach us something. If you have such a perspective, brothers and sisters, then I say again, when you read the Bible, it will be different. I thank the Lord. In the past, in these aspects, yes, the Lord has given me grace. So when we preach, you're like Paul, you don't have to talk about the mystery all day long. But as soon as you speak of these things, you know where it comes from. You know the source. You know what you are speaking of. And so in these years, sometimes when I tell brothers and sisters, there are some more mature Christians, some brothers, when they preach, as soon as they speak, within me, when I hear it, I am greatly moved. Why? Because I have this feeling that he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. Today, there are many brothers and sisters, we think we know. We're talking about certain truths, but we don't know what we're talking about unless you've touched the mystery. And so Paul, when he's talking about church life, when he's talking about the relationship among the saints and spiritual pursuit and family life and being a master, a slave, being a child, a parent, Paul knows what he's talking about because he knows the source. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? It's different. It's completely different. And so many times when I hear some brothers and sisters, when they're talking about parental relationships, it's not that it's bad, brothers and sisters. According to human morals, it's very good. They're good teachings. But in my heart, I have this feeling, you don't know what you're talking about. And so brothers and sisters, this is a very important aspect. In the past, when we read Brother T. Austin Bark's books, I didn't understand. Later, when I understood, I came to know that our brother was speaking of the mystery. He was talking about the mystery of Christ. But he used some more skillful and deep vocabulary words to explain this. I thank the Lord, if you truly understand it, how this is important and precious. And so that is why his ministry at that time, it had a great influence throughout the world. It brought much light. So during his days, the Westerners And even the Easterners, even the Westerners, because they now came to understand their condition changed. So they gave him a name. They called him the White Wolf, because as soon as he came, there were changes and divisions among the brothers and sisters. Of course, he loved the church. He wanted unity among the church, but he brought the truth in. It was the same for Paul. Because Paul was speaking this, Judaism could no longer stand. They could not be compared with it. And so the Jews, they were so jealous and they hated him. They wanted to kill Paul. Brothers and sisters, we know that if you can truly bring the truth of God's heart here on earth, it will have a great impact. Paul, in his days, not only did he understand the mystery of Christ in his vision, in the vision, his entire life was also to share on this. Why was he so sorrowful for the condition of the Jews? Because it seemed as if they have grasped a hold of some of the outward things of God, but they did not understand the heart of God. And so it became just an outward religious activity. And it allowed God's will to be completely lost. And so today we need God's grace. Last time I already said that when we speak of this mystery, don't think it's something very mystical, something very special. But no, brothers and sisters, our God, he is a God of mystery. He is amazing. He created the universe. Today, even those who understand the universe, they also know that it is an unfathomable place. This is the mystery of God. We don't know where man has come from. We don't know why God, there is such thing as man, why we have to live in such a way. Why is there humans and we cannot find humans anywhere else in the universe? Today, we know only God's words. That in the very beginning, in the early church, among the apostles, because they received the revelation of God and the vision of God, they came to understand the mystery of the universe. Now today, for us who are so common to such a point where we only pay attention to what we eat and drink in our daily lives, and we don't really care much about other things, we need to remind us that we are people who have been saved by grace. We cannot be like the people of this earth. We need to pursue, we need to understand. And we hope that in these few days left, that there'll be more brothers and sisters. Through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we come to understand. So that we can understand the truth in God's will and bring it into the gathering of his people. So Paul in the first generation, first century, he was the apostle of this message. Do you remember in Colossians chapter 4? Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 4. Oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That now we are stewards of the mystery of God. All of God's house is a mystery. We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. I hope that we will not misunderstand. It's not that all day long that you just talk about the mystery, you don't go have visitations, you don't care for brothers and sisters. No, I'm hoping, brothers and sisters, that when you go visit people, when you care for the church, that within you, you will have this thought that you are being sent and entrusted by the mystery. When you care, when you visit people, when you help others, You need to have the sense, like Paul. Paul says, I am speaking of the mystery. When I visit people, when I care for others, it's a mystery. Every single aspect, it is connected with the mystery. I hope, brothers and sisters, that when you grab a hold of this thought, that the Holy Spirit is also doing a work among brothers and sisters so that you will have faith, so that you will have understanding. When you have this understanding, this comprehension, versus not having this understanding, it will be different. Please remember, Paul, when he did these things, he knows why and he knows how. He doesn't have to explain all the reasonings, but in his heart, he's very clear. I hope for us, we can also attain to the same. And so Paul says, you have heard me say these things. I suffer for the church. I said before that from this perspective of the mystery, you will have many different experiences. Now you will see Paul's passion. Why is it that he has been entrusted in, suffered so much, and constantly his passion never went dim? Why? If it was only from the outward perspective of work, nobody could withstand as much as he was able to go through. He says, I suffer for the church, for the body of Christ. I have gone through the suffering of Christ to fill up that which is lacking in the suffering of Christ, so that I could share the mystery that has been hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, so that everything could be spoken of. Some people, they understand this to say that Paul has already completely spoken of all truth. It seems as if Paul has already spoken of all the truth and has spoken of it from all aspects. And we know that later in John's ministry, that John was also adding in, he was also patching in, that he was also emphasizing the main points of what Paul did not completely spoke of. Because we know that before John passed away, the church had already deviated in the way. The children of God were already paying attention to the outward things. And so John was recovering the ministry of life. He was recovering life to bring the brothers back to this aspect of life, to bring them back to this aspect of the anointing. So Paul's, he does speak of these things, but John was adding emphasis in the ministry of Paul. He was emphasizing in a very wonderful way, in a good way, and he hit the main points. And so John also understood the mystery. Brothers and sisters, today we really need God to give us grace. If it were not so, then in our Christian life would be very shallow, and the church would also be very shallow. And within Christianity, we have all these things that we're constantly fighting and debating and competing whose work is better. It's truly a laughable thing. It is very shallow. The first generation, we see the church during the time of the apostles, the condition was glorious. It was very deep and very abundant. And so today, brothers and sisters, there are many things in which we need to be retaught. That is why Paul says, I am preaching. There are two things in the Bible that's very interesting. Teaching and preaching. There is teaching as well as preaching. In the church, we are teaching, just like a teacher teaches class. And then there are times there is preaching. That is with great zeal. When you hear preaching, all of a sudden there's a great volume of sound and there's great passion because it is preaching. And so in the past, in church history, there are some brothers, they say that like Brother Song. When he spoke, he was a fire of the East, because as soon as he went up on the pulpit, there was great zeal and great passion because he was preaching. Today, when we share the gospel, yes, we share the gospel, but sometimes it's just like a teaching, a teacher teaching. But Paul, no, he was not like that. Wherever he went, with great zeal, great fire, we know that he had great power. So when he went, everything got turned upside down because he had arrived. So the Jews and even the Gentiles were afraid of him. There was a person who's greatly disturbs. He was disturbs the heavens and the earth. He brings great chaos. This was Paul, because he was entrusted with this mystery. He deeply knew the mystery of God and the importance of it. And so here he was preaching in Christ to bring people to Christ before God, to carry out the preaching, the word of God, so that he could fully carry out the preaching, so that we may know Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know that in these decades, God has given us such great blessing. Many brothers and sisters know that the eternal purpose of God is Christ. This cannot be just a slogan among us. We need to have in our practical everyday life, in our church life, we need to experience this. So may the Lord, in these end days, in these remaining days, to show us this hidden mystery of Christ and reveal it to us. So brothers and sisters, I want to bring the attention of all of us back upon this point. Meditate on this. Eder's elderly brother had said, how can we gain revelation? Many people will ask this brother, how do we gain revelation? But he says, the more you think, the more you speak, the more you speak, the more you think, eventually it will become revelation. Do you believe it? From now on, every day, think upon this and say, oh, this is the mystery when you read the Bible. You meet, then yes, brothers and sisters, in 5 or 6 years, the Lord will bring you. The more you meditate on it, then one day your eyes will be opened. Where's our difficulty? After we heard the message, we just leave, and that's good enough. You look at it twice, and then you just leave. But now, I want to bring this burden among brothers and sisters. You need to meditate on it more. From now on, every day, think about this. What is the mystery? Perhaps one day, the Spirit of God will work in you, just like in Paul, to do this work of revealing. And then in your own spiritual walk, you will have a change. And there will be a change in church life, and bring in change. Now, brothers and sisters, you have already memorized the book of Colossians. I hope that the next important step is that you will meditate. You will think upon this. From the book of Colossians, where is Paul talking about the vision? Where is he talking about his mission and then his vocation? Which points are his actions and his passion? And in this way, when you separate out the book of Colossians, then the Lord will give you greater light and revelation. Let's look to his grace. We hope that in these last days, that our condition will be better than before. This is a very important reminder. So in today's meeting, we will stop at this point. And next time, as we begin to memorize Ephesians chapter 1, I will still continue on in the book of Colossians to talk about the mystery of God is Christ. And from Paul's words, we will pull out his main points to study. Okay, so our meeting will conclude here. Our time has come. Shall we have a time of prayer before the Lord? And perhaps some brothers and sisters in your heart, if you have a burden and you're willing to lead us in a short prayer. If it's inconvenient to open up to pray, then later on, you can also pray quietly in your heart. We look to his grace. Let's have some prayers. So brothers and sisters, if you are to pray, please do remember to turn on your microphone so that everyone can hear you. Lord Jesus, we thank you through our brother who shared with us that today is not too late. And so even though we haven't learned very much in the past and we don't know you very much, but we are willing. We have the desire to say before you, Lord, we want to know you more. We want to experience you more. And we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you. You have again given these words to us. Lord, we are willing that before you, we would be diligent and serious people. Lord, that every day we would learn to follow the leading of the anointing, the teaching of the anointing. Lord, as we follow, Lord, may you yourself, may you reveal your mystery and your will to us so that within us we would have true light, that we may truly know your mystery and the hope of your calling is so great. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that today we can hear such a message. And Lord, we before you, we acknowledge that our understanding is so shallow. We understand with our minds, but in our hearts we do not understand. So before you, we pray that you would give us an open heaven. Help us so that we would not neglect your words. We have done many outward works, but inwardly we do not know how we are. And so we pray that your Spirit would teach us and lead us so that we follow the teaching of the anointing, so that we would not remain shallow. We pray that you would accomplish your will in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would show us mercy. Draw us so that we would have greater zeal and passion upon you yourself and not put our zeal upon other things. Otherwise, it is just a waste. So Lord, show us mercy. Do this work that is deeper within our hearts so that not only we would have a desire for your mystery, but change us, change our hearts and our minds so that we would have hearts and minds that could receive your mystery. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Those who love you would be truly blessed by you when we meditate upon your words. Lord, we do say that there are many times in all the things we think about and we care about are just things in this world and our own needs. And so through your words, once again, remind us, shine your light into us so that we would often meditate on your words, meditate upon your mystery and the things that would be mindful of the things above. Lord, we do thank you that we would not give up. We thank you that you have not given up. You are doing this constant work of recovery. And even now, your eyes are still fixed upon us. You are still looking at the things that we have lost. And you have sent your servant to often do these works of reminder. But we thank you that you have not been annoyed by constantly reminding us. Thank you for your love. Again, do stir us up so that we would have a love and desire that when the people of Israel come before you, Lord, may we not just come before you with our lips, but our hearts are far from you. May we learn to take action and honor the training, the teaching that you have given within us. Lord, may we not be ignorant before you. Lord, help us to repent, to come to know the spirit that you have placed within us, that we would obey and follow. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do thank you. Now that we have memorized this book, as we come back and to slowly meditate and to think about these words, we pray that you would do a deeper work in us so that we would deeply understand the mystery of Christ and be those who meditate on your words, that your words within us would be a great power to attract us far beyond the TV, the cell phone, and all these other things that are so self-centered. Lord, we are willing that we would have this habit to meditate on your words, to enter into your mystery and into your life. This is our one desire, so that it would be the source of our life. We thank you. May you do this practical work within us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Abba, Father, we thank you, because you are willing to reveal your Son to us. And so, Father, in spiritual things, only you can accomplish it. Even though we have had much fellowship here, we still look to you and your Spirit to bring us into all truth. We thank you that throughout all ages, you have raised up some people. It doesn't matter how they were intelligent or foolish, whether they were knowledgeable or not. You have allowed all of them to come to understand your will. We do desire that in these days, that you would reveal your will to us. Lord, with great faith, Lord, we want to follow you. Even though time has come to the very end, we pray that you will continually show mercy upon your children. And before your feet, we desire to be like the early church, like the saints, that they would also have a clear seeing and they would have a clear following, that they would give you all the glory. Lord, we are willing to hold fast to this little bit of opportunity. We thank you. We give you all the praise and adoration of our hearts. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to tell everybody our next gathering in October. It will be October. It will be October 23rd. Please remember the time. And so from here, we need to memorize the book of Ephesians. So next time, we hope brothers and sisters can lead us in reciting Ephesians chapter 1. So start memorizing Ephesians 1 after today's meeting. Okay, we don't have any other announcements, so may the Lord do protect and watch over all brothers and sisters. We know that here in the U.S., this pandemic, not only has it not stopped, but it has become more severe. So do stay healthy, and we look to His grace and mercy. And so we will gather in His peace next time. Our sister is asking, our brother had just sent a post of the Spirit of Christ, this book. Is there any way we could send it over email? Brother Jin says that he will send this link to all brothers and sisters. And Brother Jin says, yes, in Chinese and English, we have both copies, so you don't have to purchase it. Everybody can read it online. Now, this will be a good study for you individually. We won't have time to be able to read this together as a group. But if possible, that just locally in your own region, you can find some brothers and sisters to read it together. Because this book is very deep. It's not an easy book to understand. And so if there are several brothers and sisters together, you can read it in a group. But of course, if you want to read it individually, that's good too. But read it carefully. If there's some places you have questions, do write it down and then find some brothers and sisters to have some fellowship on it. This is worth the time to read. And of course, in the past, I do want to mention that some brothers have said that this book, there are some things in it but I'm not too sure. I have found it to be very good. So I do want to introduce this book to saints. Now, some of you, if you have already read it, it's worth the time to read it again. And a brother has says in the chat, you can already click on it and just download the copies. Both Chinese and English are already there. And Brother Sun says, I don't need to download it, but other saints, you can already download it. It's not a website. It's just a file. So go ahead and download it if you'd like it. So if you need it, please go ahead to the chat room and download it there in both Chinese and English. Are there any other questions?